Tonight, our encouragement talk will be given by Dharma holder Diane Fitzgerald.
Case 94 in the Book of Serenity. The monk inquired of Dongshan, "You are ill, teacher, but is there anyone who is not ill?" When Dongshan said there is, the monk asked, "Does the one who is not ill look after you?" Dongshan responded, "I have the opportunity to look after him." The monk asked, "How is it when you look after him?" Dongshan said, "Then I see there is not any illness." End the verse. Taking off the smelly skin bag, casting away the mass of red flesh, directly the nose is straight, immediately the skull is dry. The old doctor doesn't see the indigestion from before. The little one looks in on him, but it's hard to approach. When the meadow streams are thin, the autumn ponds recede. Where the white clouds end, the old mountains are cold. You must cut off absolutely. Don't be big-headed. Evolving to the utmost effortlessness, he attains the state. The lone standout is not in the same class as you. So the monk in this case, who asks of Dongshan, "You are ill, teacher, but is there anyone who is not ill?" I find him to be very sweet. So here he is, his teacher, his beloved teacher, is dying, as Melissa talked about in her lovely talk this morning. And he's afraid, you know. Maybe he didn't learn what he thinks he needed to learn, and now the teacher is going to be gone, and he's going to be lost. And here's this one final chance to find out what it is he needs to know to carry on in this life without him. And I think that when people are dying, it's not so uncommon for those of us who love them to be looking for something from them, some way of reconciling the suffering that we see and the end that we anticipate, and wanting to know that everything is going to be okay for them, okay for us. So not so unusual to ask these kinds of questions. They might seem impertinent, but they really come from the heart. And I think that this case could be in some ways a little bit of a trap, because when Dongshan answers that he says that he looks after the one who is not ill, we could see that as, okay, well, that's what I need to do. If I can just figure out how to care for the one who is not ill, then I've solved the problem. You know, maybe there is no sickness then. Maybe there is no pain and no loss. I just figured out a technique, a way to get to this place where I don't see the sickness anymore. And this could be its own kind of sickness, some kind of Zen sickness, you know, this place of being lost in emptiness where everything is equal and everything is nirvana. And so that's why I so much love the verse that follows, which is what Hongzhe wrote. He picked this case for his collection and then he appended the verse. And in my imagination, he noticed that there was maybe some danger that we might be carried away to this place of looking for something that would show us that there's somewhere to go where there would be no sickness. And so he says, taking off the smelly skin bag. And so this is a reference to our chant, you know, the Song of the Grass Roof Hermitage, where we say, if you want to know the undying person in the hut, don't separate from this skin bag here and now. And in this Hongzhe saying, actually you are going to separate from it. It's going to happen, and you are going to be taking off the smelly skin bag. And there's one of the poets that I'm sure Alan knows who it is, but Keats or Yeats or one of them said that we're all tethered or tied to a dying animal. And that's true until it isn't, right? Yeah. And in the verse, he goes on, you know, with immediately the skull is dry. So there, if you've ever been with someone who's dying and who dies before your eyes, the brain, the mind can't really grasp what has happened, because one minute there is life and the next minute it's gone. And the heart may well be able to encompass all of it, but the mind is kind of flashing, you know, this doesn't compute. And here Hungshir's reminding us that for all of us, you know, we're going to drop off this smelly skin bag and our skull will be dry. And he goes on about when the meadow streams are thin, the autumn ponds recede. When the white clouds end, the old mountains are cold. So there's an inevitability to it that we find difficult to face. You know, when the meadow streams recede or are thin, there's no other possibility but for the ponds to recede. So he is reminding us of the particularity of dying and death, and reminding us to be in touch with that which is, and not find ourselves lost in some realm of thinking that all is equal and empty. And like Mike, I do hospice work, and I have a new client who is a Vietnam veteran who's in the veterans home in Maine. And really sort of crazily, he asked the hospice program for a Buddhist hospice worker. And I think there's one in all of Washington County, Maine, which is me. And I was like, first, like, so excited, you know? But then, you know, I thought, well, what kind of Buddhist hospice worker does he want, you know? Does he want someone who is going to give him some hope of reincarnation, or the beautiful ceremonies around death that the Tibetans do, or someone who will talk about, you know, a life or a way of being with death that will avoid this departing from the smelly skin bag? And I felt that on the first visit that I needed to be really honest with him. And it was a hard conversation, and tell him that I am not offering him any stories. I don't have an opinion on reincarnation. I don't have an opinion on nirvana. I can only offer to be present with him, and that my practice is to be present as much as possible every moment until the very last moment. And remarkably, this is what he wanted. And it made me feel that this practice that we have has such a subtle beauty to it. So we don't offer any stories, you know, like so many religions do, that this life that we're living is kind of, you know, a preview of what's to come. And I really think that causes so much harm. I'm sensitive lately to how that also plays into our climate change, our climate devastation appreciation now, because if we cannot be with and true to the world as it is, if it is only a staging area for something to come, then maybe we don't need to take care with it, take care with ourselves. And so I think Zen offers us this wonderful, cold, hard reality. And it's very hard to describe it in a way that doesn't sound like stoicism, you know, because that is not what it is about. But it is about being true to the particular. And with practice, the particular reveals the eternal. For me, always the particular, I'm consoled by it. The eternal consoles me through it. And whether it is something so simple as the floor supporting my cup, or someone stepping aside when I walk up the stairs, or whether it's the whole giant earth that is just seemingly impossibly hanging in space and giving life to all of us, and just so fragile. All of these particularities to me are the way that the eternal expresses itself. And so with our case here, I think for me the heart of it is not the ill and the not ill, but the caring part of it. So the caring, and this came up a little in our dialogue today, I think, about like how do we do this caring, right? And our mind starts grasping at wanting, and our heart wants to do the right thing. And but the kind of caring that we practice here is the caring of attention, that caring of being present, and over returning to this present moment. And from that, which we all know how to do, and which we have this wonderful week available to us to practice this, from that, I think naturally the caring just flows. No need for us to work at it. It just on its own. The degree to which we attend and care, the universe cares for us in equal measure. Thank you.